चरणानरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 39 चैप्टर एंटाइटल अक्रूरास विजन वर्स 30 यो अहना क्षये प्रजम् अनन्तसखः परीतो गोपैर्विशन् खुररजस् चुरितालक स्रक वेणुं क्वणन् स्मितकटाक्ष निरीक्षणेन चित्तं क्षिणोत्य अमुं रिते नु कथं भवेम यो अहन क्षये व्रजमनन्त सख परीतो परीतो गोपैर्विशन् गोपैर्विशन् खुररजश्चुरिताल चुरितालक श्रक विशन् खुररजश्चुरितालक श्रक वेणुं क्वणन् स्मित कटाक्ष निरीक्षणेन क्वणन् निरीक्षणेन चित्तं क्षिणोत्यमुमृतेनु कथं भवेम नित्यमुमृतेनु कथं भवेम योऽहन क्षये व्रजमनन्त सख परीतो गोपैर्विशन् खुररजश्चुरितालकश्रक वेणुं क्वणन् स्मित कटाक्ष निरीक्षणेन निरीक्षणेन चित्तं क्षिणोत्यमृतेनु कथं भवेम कथं भवेम योऽहन क्षये व्रजमनन्त सख परीतो परीतो गोपैर्विशन् खुररजश्चुरितालकश्रक तालकश्रक वेणुं क्वणन् स्मित कटाक्ष निरीक्षणेन चित्तं क्षिणोत्यमृतेनु कथं भवेम गोपैर्विशन् खुररजश्चरितालकश्रक वेणुं क्वणन् स्मित कटाक्ष निरीक्षणेन कमृतोत्यमुमृतेन कतिं भवेम योऽहन क्षये व्रजमनन्त सख परीतो आलकश्रक वेणुं कणं सतराक्ष निरीक्षणेन चित्तं चिनोत्यमृतेनो कथं भवेम। वैष्णवीस, यौवनक्षयनन्तहन्त सखा करितो कोपैर्विशङ्खुररजश्चुरितालकस्रक् वेणुं कणं सितकडाक्ष निरीक्षणेन चित्तं क्षिणोत्यमुं तूलेन कथं भवेम। यः हु अहनः ऑफ द डे क्षये एट द डिमाइस व्रजम द विलेज ऑफ व्रज अनंत ऑफ अनंत लॉर्ड बलराम सखः the friend Krishna, paritaha, accompanied on all sides, gopai, by the cowherd boys, vishan, entering, khura, of the hoof prints, of the cows, rajaha, with the dust, churita, smeared, alaka, the locks of his hair, shraka, and his garlands, venum, his flute, kwanan, playing, smith, smiling, kataksha, from the corners of his eyes, Nirikshanena, with glances, Chittam, our minds, Shnoti, he destroys, Amum, him, Rite, without, No, indeed, Katham, how, Bhavema, we can exist. Translation: how can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Vraja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling sidelong glances. There's no purport. It's the 31st verse. श्री शुक उवाच एवं ब्रुहाणा विरुहातुराभृशाम् व्रजस्त्रिय कृष्ण विसक्त मानसः विसृज्य लज्जाम् रुदुस्मसुसरम् गोविंद दामोदर माधवेति। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द फॉलोअर्स ऑफ श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड, आफ्टर स्पीकिंग दीज वर्ड्स द लेडीज ऑफ रज हु वर सो अटैच्ड टू कृष्णा felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. Purport: for a long time, the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna. But now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed that they could no longer hide their feelings. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्ट स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः पदां मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। I seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile for the glorification of the Lord and for the purification of my heart. So today morning we are at what is one of the highest pitches of the agony of ecstasy. Ecstasy is normally considered to be something which is very positive, very joyful. But the Vedic scriptures, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, reveals spiritual life in its completeness. So spiritual life has not only happiness, there's not only ecstasy, but there is also agony in spiritual life. So there's a Western philosopher who had the idea that if God is the source of everything, then why should God be the source only of the good? God should also be the source of the bad. So in the theology of the Abrahamic religions, the source of the bad has no explanation. That's why they create some idea of Satan, who is a being independent of God, competing with God, almost as powerful as God. But the Vedic scriptures explain that God is the source of everything. And God can manifest in a very attractive form as Krishna, and He can manifest in a very fearsome form as Narasimha. Now, from the external point of view, when Krishna manifests as Narasimha, he is very fearsome. You know, blood is there on his face, his jaws are coming out, and his eyes are blazing with such fury that no one can behold him. No one except his pure devotee Prahlad. So, from the external point of view, this form looks very fearsome. It's not attractive. But that is only the external perspective. So God has a fearsome form also. And that anger is an expression of affection. You know, when love is there, love expresses itself not just as happiness. Yes, whenever there is love, there is happiness. So when a mother is with her child, and she is caressing the child, and breastfeeding the child, maybe moving in the cradle, she is happy. But that is not the only emotion that comes in love. Along with that, the child is out of sight. Child is not in one place. The mother is filled with anxiety. Where is my child? If somebody comes to hurt the child, that love expresses itself as anger. So, spiritual life in its totality includes all different kinds of emotions. So love is the substratum, but on that substratum of love, there is a variety of emotions. So Lord Narasimhadev, for the devotee, is not a fearsome form of the Lord. Although the form looks fearsome, but the devotee understands that this fearsome form is a manifestation of the love of the Lord for his devotees. And that's why that fearsomeness is also encompassed, included within the gamut of love. And similarly, here the gopis are in a state of heartbroken agony. And even this is an expression of love. So on the path of yoga, Patanjali in the Yoga Sutra says, Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodha.
He says that the perfection of yoga is chitta vritti. Chitta is the movement of consciousness. So actually there are two terms. There is chit and there is chitta. They are two different things. Chit is the original spiritual consciousness of the soul. So atma is sat chit anand. That is chit. So with the original chit, the soul can perceive spiritual reality. The soul can perceive Krishna. So now the soul is here in the heart. Next to it is the super soul. So with chit, the soul can perceive Krishna. But chitta is different from chit. Chitta is conditioned consciousness. Now Krishna in the start of the Bhagavad Gita says in 2.17 that avinashitu tadviddhi yena sarvamidam tatam. He says that which pervades the body is imperishable. It comes from the soul. So consciousness comes from the soul. He says that very clearly. And in fact, that is one of the symptoms of consciousness. But if you look at Krishna's analysis in Sankhya, in 13.7, he says that Icha dvesha sukha dukkha sanghatascetana dhriti etat kshetram samasena savikaram udharatam. So he says that Icha dvesha, attachment and desire and aversion, sukha dukkha, happiness and distress, sanghatas, the aggregate of all this, chetana, consciousness, and dhruti. Dhruti is conviction or determination. All these, he says, etat kshetram samasena savikaram utarutam. So, kshetra samasena. So, the kshetra is described in the previous verse, 13.6. And this is kshetra vikar. So, transformation of the kshetra, of the material territory where the soul has control. Prakriti is in general material nature. Whereas kshetra is the specific area within material nature over which a soul has control. So for example, this whole room is prakriti. But my body is my kshetra. I have some control over it. So now, Krishna is telling over here, chetana is kshetra vikar. Consciousness is the transformation of kshetra, transformation of material nature. Now we say consciousness comes from the soul. So how can consciousness be the transformation of material nature? The original consciousness comes from the soul, but the conditioned consciousness, for example, each of us has our own individual likes and dislikes. We have our own Icha Dvesha Sukha Dukkha. We have our likes and dislikes, and based on that, correspondingly we have our happinesses and distresses. When we get what we like, according to our Icha, there is Sukha. When we get what we don't like, according to the Dvesha, there is Dukkha. So all these are different for each one of us. And they are different for us also at different times. Our Icha, Dvesha, Sukha, Dukkha as a child are different from our Icha, Dvesha, Sukha, Dukkha as a young person. And they will be different as we become middle-aged or as we become elderly. So these are shaped by our kshetra. The Prabhupada gives the example that a soul in a human body finds human excreta as abhorrent. But that same soul may later transmigrate to a hog's body. And then that same thing which was intolerable, insufferable, becomes irresistible. So how does this transformation take place? This consciousness, this conditioned consciousness, is actually kshetra vikar. So, chitta refers to this conditioned consciousness. So like, to give an example to make this clear, suppose a person is watching TV. Now, we know there are these two shaktis, avaranatmika and prakshepatmika. So, we know avaranatmika means that which covers. And prakshepatmika is that which pushes into illusion. So, when people go to watch, say, movie in a theater, so two things happen. First, lights go off and then light goes on. So, the other lights go off. That is avaranatmika shakti. Forget everything else. And then the light on the screen goes on. And consciousness gets dragged towards that. That is prakshepatmika shakti. So that's how, now the person who is watching a movie in a theater has the capacity to say, see who is sitting in the neighborhood, who is coming from the door, who is coming from different places, what is overhead on the roof. But the consciousness is so caught on the screen that although the capacity is there, the inclination is not there. One is caught in that. So now, the consciousness which has the capacity to perceive the whole theater That is chit. That is the original spiritual consciousness zone. But the consciousness that is riveted to the TVs, to the movie theater screen, that is chitta. So chitta is the original consciousness that is rooted into the body and through the body to the outside world. So all of us, even now, we have the capacity to perceive Krishna. But because of the persistent attachments to material things that we have cultivated over many lifetimes, there is no inclination. And that's why that capacity is almost as if lost. That's when, so the soul's consciousness is rooted through the subtle body, through the gross body, into the external world. So this is chitta. So chit, a pure consciousness, is inaccessible to us. What is accessible right now to us is chitta. So the path of yoga involves what? Yogas chitta vritti nirodha. That stop the movement of consciousness. Stop the emotions which cause the movement of consciousness. That means, chitta vritti nirodha means, don't get caught up in whatever is being displayed on the movie theater screen. So, Krishna also talks about this in the 6th chapter of the Gita. In 6.20 he says, Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyanatmani tushyati. So he says, Yatra uparamate chittam. So chitta that is there, uparamate. Uparamate means stop. Cease the movement of consciousness. And then, niruddham yoga sevaya. By the practice of yoga, come to the stage of niruddha. Niruddha. Niruddha is the verb which comes in sentence form. It's the ablative. Nirodha is the state of consciousness. So, Yoga Sutra described that there are five states of consciousness. There is mudha, kshipta, vikshipta, ekagrata, and nirodha. So, mudha is the sleeping state of consciousness. And then, tamoguna. Then, kshipta is the hyper-agitated state of consciousness. The vikshipta is distracted. One is trying to concentrate. So, for example, now, and the class is going on. Some of us may be in mudha. Now, we are asleep. Some of us may be in kshipta. That means, oh, I have to do this. After the class, I have to go there. I have to do this. That person said that. So, the mind is wandering all over. Kshipta. Vikshipta is, I am trying to concentrate. But although I am trying to concentrate, there is something that is distracting me. Ekagrata is where the mind is concentrated. So Krishna asks Arjuna in 18.72, if you have to hear effectively, the hearing has to be ekagrata. Kachide tachutam partha tvai ekagrena chetasaha. Have you heard attentively? So ekagrata has a general meaning that, okay, attentiveness. But in the yogic terminology, it has a specific meaning, where the consciousness is fixed, ekagrata. And then after that, the fifth stage is nirodha. Nirodha means the material movement of consciousness stops. So that's why, yatra uparamate chittam. So many translators of the Gita translate this verse as, when the mind stops. Prabhupada translates this as, when the material mind stops. When the material mind stops, that means that the soul has original capacity for emotions, original capacity for perception, original capacity for reciprocation. That is lost right now. So the process of yoga involves stopping all material activities first. Stopping not just material activities that are stopped in the when a person starts pratyahara only. But by this time one comes to samadhi, then one stops all material emotions also. And then, what is the idea? Further, Patanjali doesn't talk much. Now, there are some inferences that we can draw from the Yoga Sutra, which indicate that Patanjali was a Vaishnava. And he also talks about Ishvara Pranidhana as one of the limbs of yoga, surrender to Ishvara. So that also indicates that he talks about, he has some personal idea, personal conception. But the Yoga Sutra themselves don't talk about the personal absolute much. They don't give over the explanation of who is the Ishvara. So, bhakti offers an alternative way to spiritual realization. Now, Krishna talks about yatro paramate chittam, and this is the state of samadhi. But then, same Krishna and the same Bhagavad Gita says, and the highest yogi is not one who is yatro paramate chittam. The highest yogi is madgate nantaratmana. not just stopping the movement of consciousness, but connecting the consciousness with Krishna. So, the perfection of spiritual life is not silencing our emotions. It is shifting the center of our emotions. Right now, so we're going back to the movie again, metaphor, the center of emotions for a person watching the movie is the movie screen. And everything that is happening over there, the hero gets beaten, the villain gets beaten, there are all different emotions that come up. Now, all those emotions are being experienced, but those emotions have got nothing to do with the real life of the person. So, those emotions are kshetravikar, icha, dvesha, sukham, dukkham, sanghatas, chetana, adriti. So, those emotions definitely have to be stopped. But, rather than stopping those emotions, which is a negative process, no, don't get excited, don't get agitated, don't get tempted. Bhakti offers an alternative way that direct the emotions elsewhere. Direct those emotions towards Krishna. So we don't silence our emotions, we shift the center of our emotions. Shift the center of our emotions from this illusory material world to Krishna and things connected with Krishna. And that shifting of the emotions and the resulting divine emotions are demonstrated in Vrindavan and especially by the gopis. Normally, in material life, you know, when emotions go out of control, that is considered a blemish, that is considered a contamination, that is a dushana. Now, Krishna tells Arjuna, Mashuchaha, dhiras tatra namuhyati. That do not lament. A wise person does not lament. Ashochana vashochastam. Why are you lamenting? So, emotions going out of control is considered to be a dushana, is considered to be a contamination in material life, especially by people who are spiritually advanced. But the same emotions, when they go out of control in spiritual life, in connection with Krishna, that is considered the perfection of spiritual life. So here, the gopis are remembering Krishna. Akrura has come to take Krishna away, and the gopis are devastated. And here they are discussing, they are remembering Krishna. Venum kwanan smitakal kataksha nirekshanena. It's a very personal remembrance of Krishna. I remember how Krishna used to play the pony, how he used to play the flute, how he used to smile, how he used to cast endearing sidelong glances at us. And as they are remembering all this, they are becoming overwhelmed. And as they are overwhelmed, the next verse marks one of the highest points of contemplation within the tradition of love in separation. Now this verse has been taken and expanded by the great Acharya Bilvamangal Thakur in his Govinda Damodara Stotra. So the Govinda Damodara Stotra has almost 69 verses and all of them end with this chorus. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. And one of those verses over there, which is actually, I gave another class where I analyze all the 69 verses, how they are flowing together one by one. So, this verse, which evam bruana viraha turabhrisham vrajastriya krishna vishakta manasa visrujjalajjam rudus masuswaram govinda damodara madhaveti. So, this is the heart of that whole set of prayers of Govinda Damodara Stotra. What is this verse saying? That those gopis, when they were speaking like this, evam bruvana, what they spoke, they were sharing their remembrances of Krishna. And as they are sharing those remembrances, the affection in their heart, it overflowed. And viraha atura brisham, viraha atura brisham. By the viraha, by the separation, atura, they became extremely agitated. Brisham, it was fierce. It was intolerable. And because of the intolerable separation, what happened? Prajastriya Krishna Vishakta Manasaha. They were at one place, but their consciousness, Manasaha, was abducted away. It was not there where they were. It was with Krishna. In fact, Rupa Goswami and his Lalita Madhava describes elaborately the condition of the gopis when they heard that Krishna was going to go, Radharani fainted in agony. She just couldn't contemplate the thought that Krishna will no longer be here. The other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, they were trying to console Radharani, and they themselves could not. They had, on one side, they had seen the condition of Radharani, they were heartbroken. On the other hand, they also had their relationship with Krishna, and they were heartbroken because of that also. And they were completely overwhelmed. Now, the very prospect of Krishna leaving Vrindavan inundated whole of Raja in an ocean of agony. And the most buffeted means tossed and thrown here and there, the most buffeted by this inundation were the gopis. They just couldn't tolerate the thought of separation from Krishna. And what happened here? Visrujjalajam rudu smasmusmaran. Visrujjalajam. So, lajja here is translated as shame. It also refers to modesty. So, in the Vedic culture, the male-female attraction is not exhibited publicly. It is cherished. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Kama does not just refer to sexuality. Kama refers to holistic material satisfaction. And it is considered an important part of life. But it is not publicly exhibited. So, that is considered to be something which is to be treasured and cherished, but in private. So, the gopis, they had their affection for Krishna. They would never exhibit it. The Vedic culture is such that even a married husband and wife, they don't show their exhibition in public. They don't exhibit their affection in public. And what to speak of? The gopis had a relationship of parakya with Krishna. So, they are eternally Krishna's consorts. But in the Leela, they are acting as if they are not his wedded wives. So because of that, they could not publicly exhibit their affection for Krishna. But at this particular time, Visrujjalajam, that modesty which was there, they cast it aside. Now actually, Krishna arranged everything in such a way that when he played his flute, the gopis would, if you look at the Bhagavatam, in the 19th and 20th chapters, it is the first time the Madhurya Rasa of the gopis, Anandanda Unjampu calls it as the Purva Raga. Purva Raga refers to the affection that arises before the meeting. So that is described in 19th and 20th chapters of the 10th canto. And therein, the gopis are talking among themselves. Okay, how beautiful Krishna is. How captivating his complexion is. But they talk among themselves, but it is confidential among themselves. Even in the 23rd chapter, when it is described that the gopis perform tapasya. So, Anandanda Champa mentions that the gopis don't say why they are doing tapasya. They are doing tapasya to Katyayani so that they will have Krishna as their husband. But when their mothers ask, why are you doing such tapasya? What is the need for it? So, they just smile shyly and don't speak anything. Now, they don't tell anyone that actually we want Krishna as our Lord. Even in the 29th chapter, when Krishna plays his flute, and at that time, the gopis leave everyone and go away. Pati sutanvaya bhratru bandhavan ati vilanghyate antachyutagataha. That the gopis are telling in the 31st chapter in Gopi Gita, that our relatives and associates, they all opposed us. Pati sutanvaya bhratru bandhavan. Our brothers, our husbands, our relatives, they all obstructed us. But ati vilanghyate. And we overcame all those obstacles and we came to you. So, the gopis are aware that their relatives opposed. And despite the opposition of the relatives, they came. However, Krishna arranges by his yoga maya in such a way, at the end of the pastime, in the 33rd chapter, is before the pastime ends, it is described that when the gopis came back, at that time, their husbands and their other relatives did not feel any objection. Because Krishna had arranged other forms of the gopis, substitutes, to be there with them. So what happened is, for the relatives, when they opposed, you should not go, then for them it appeared as if they had succeeded in restraining the gopis. So they never realized that the gopis have not gone. So when the gopis came back, they thought, oh, they have been here only. They did not go to Krishna. So the point which I am making over here is that the gopis generally do not exhibit their attraction for Krishna publicly. Because that was the culture of modesty at that time. But at this particular time, when Krishna is about to depart, visrujjalajam, that modesty that is there, they abandon it. And what happens? Rurudusmasmusmaran. That rurudu, they start crying publicly. They cannot tolerate it. And in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, it is described that the tears for Krishna, tears because of separation from Krishna, because of the fear that one will lose Krishna, those tears are the summit of spiritual ecstasy. So those tears indicate a very strong emotional attachment. Generally, you know, children may cry over small things. But as we grow older, even when we are dejected or devastated also by something, it's not so often that we start crying. When we cry, especially when we are grown up, only when the devastation and desolation is so total and so irredeemable that one feels there is no way out. What can I do? At that time, one breaks down into tears. So that is the intensity of the emotion of the gopis. Rurudu smasmusmaran, that visrujjalajam, their modesty which made them conceal their attraction for Krishna, that modesty they cast it away. So everything that we have is for the pleasure of Krishna, for the service of Krishna. If Krishna goes away, what is the use of even our life? If our life is of no use, then what is the use of our modesty? Visrujjalajam. And what they cried out, for a devotee, when there is separation from Krishna, then the only resort is to take shelter of Krishna's holy names and to experience His presence thereof. So, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. He started calling out, oh Govinda, oh Damodara, oh Madhava. So, now this particular mood of the gopis is taken by Bilwa Mangal Thakur in his Govinda Damodara Stotra. And then he says, how this same mood, maybe not with the same level of intensity, but with the same kind of mentality, kind of devotional attitude of taking helpless shelter, is exhibited by all the devotees. So for example, he says that when Ravana was kidnapping Sita and taking her away, so at that time, what did Sita do? She called out Lord Ram's names. And then she said, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Or for that matter, he gives various, when Draupadi, he was being desperately, you know, she was being dishonored and disrobed. At that time, she called out, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. And like that, the whole Govinda Damodara Stotra is a meditation of different devotees in different circumstances, where those circumstances promote or provoke very strong devotional emotions. And when these devotional emotions are stimulated, the devotees seek relief and release through calling out the names of Krishna. So, relief means, you know, that they are agitated. We need some shelter, some solace. And release means those emotions have to come out. So they come out. Relief and release, they get through calling out the holy names. So the whole gamut of devotional literature have this principle that the devotees take shelter of Krishna. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he describes how different devotees, whatever be the different circumstances, you know, it's fascinating that in the first canto, 15th chapter, where Krishna's departure is being announced by Arjuna to Yudhishthira Maharaj. At that time, Arjuna says that how Bhishma Drona Guru Bhishma Drona Guru Karna Shalya Natru Trigartha. So he gives a list of various kings who attacked. Astrani Mahimani Amogani Rupitani Nopasprashir Narhridasamiva Surani. So he says that all these great warriors from Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, Naptru, Trigartha, Didarpad, Bhurishrava, and all those great kings, they all had Astrani Amogha Mahimani Nirupitani. They had Amogha Astra, weapons which were irresistible. And there are many weapons, many warriors. And they all discharged their weapons. And what happened? He says, no pus pressure. That they didn't even touch me. And he gives a very odd-seeming example. He says, the example how I was protected was Narharidasam Ivasurani. Who is Narharidas? It is Prahlad Maharaj. Now, if we see from the external perspective, there is a huge difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Arjuna. No, Prahlad Maharaj was so small, he neither knew any weapons, nor did he use any weapons. So he did nothing to defend himself. And Arjuna was a great warrior and he was vigorously fighting. So at one level we can say Prahlad Maharaj was protected by Narasimha Dev. That is true. It's definitely true. But to compare Krishna protecting Arjuna with Narasimha Dev protecting Prahlad. Now if these two are to be compared as Arjuna is doing, that means one has to see beyond externals. Arjuna is not thinking, I have got my bow and arrow, I have my Gandiva, I am the world's best archer, and I am protecting myself. He says, yes, I have all this, but ultimately, my Lord, you are my protector. And that's why, to explain how he was protected, he is giving an example of someone else who had nothing and did nothing for his own protection. And still he was protected. So this is the principle of devotion that ultimately, it is we who have to take shelter of Krishna, whatever be the external situations. So the gopis, love for Krishna is extremely exalted. Is so exalted that we can't even begin to fathom it at our stage of conditioning. Often it seems very much like the material affection between male and female. And there can be very few misunderstandings that can be as grievous as misunderstanding Krishna's love for the gopis to be material. So, one of my friends is in an arts college, and there in that arts college, when they study Indian literature, you know, they study Gita Govinda as a part of the Indian literature. And then, when they study Gita Govinda without any philosophical understanding, then they get a very distorted understanding of what Krishna and the gopis' relationships are. And although they may study, now Gita Govinda, even from a literary point of view, is an excellent book. The poetic ornaments, the various literary devices, the figures of speech that are used, they're beautiful. Because the devotee poets, even when they are glorifying Krishna, they are expressing the affection of their heart for Krishna. But along with that, they are also using all their best talents for glorifying Krishna. So Jayadev Goswami, even from the material point of view, is a great poet. And the kind of ornament that he uses in his speech, they are beautiful. But the Gita Govinda's speciality is not just, it is a poetic work. It is a work about divine poetry. And the poetic aspect one may understand by analyzing the text. But the divine aspect, we need to understand it in the tradition through Guru Sadhu Shastram. Otherwise one gets a lot of misunderstandings. But this basic principle, what the gopis are exhibiting over here is that actually our emotions can be directed towards Krishna. And that direction of the emotions towards Krishna is indicative of our spiritual advancement. That principle applies to all of us also. When the Juhu temple was being, land was being got and the temple was being constructed, At that time there were huge amounts of trouble. And then Tamal Krishna was in charge of that project initially. And then he came to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, this whole land dealings are causing me so much anxiety that it's disturbing my japa. So Prabhupada said, yes, it is disturbing my japa also. So he was taken aback, you know. So Prabhupada did not, especially when he was dealing with devotees, he did not, he was always at transcendental level, but he also came down to the level of other devotees to explain to them how to practice. And he said, then Prabhupada said, it is your anxiety for serving Krishna that will take you back to Krishna. So our, you know, we have our own emotional circle. And then there is Krishna's emotional circle. Emotional circle means that what are the things related with which I experience emotions. That is my emotional circle. So for example, if I, now as an Indian, I don't even know what is baseball. So if some team wins a baseball match or loses a baseball match, that may be like a catastrophic event for the fans of that team. But for me there is no difference. For most Indians there is no difference. Why? Because that is not within our emotional circle. Whereas that baseball may be very much at the center of the emotional circle of Americans, American baseball fans. So all of us have our own emotional circles. The things in connection with which we experience emotions. And there is Krishna's emotional circle. The things about which Krishna is concerned, about which Krishna has anxiety. So for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is anxious. He has brought the fruits of love of God to Varanasi. And when he's saying there are no acceptors of these fruits, he's considering how will I distribute these fruits. So there, Srila Prabhupada in the purport reveals to us how we can enter into Krishna's emotional circle. It says, by taking up the anxiety which Krishna has. So Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita that he wants his message to be distributed far and wide. He says, I am very, those who share my message with the world will become very dear to me. So that means there is Krishna's circle of anxiety in which he is concerned about his devotees, about his temples, about his mission, about his message, about those seekers who are coming to his lotus feet. So then our spiritual advancement will happen not just by our coming to a temple or our chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These are important. But what are these meant to do? These are meant to create an increasing intersection between these two emotional circles. There is our emotional circle and there is Krishna's emotional circle. So by associating with devotees, by practicing Krishna consciousness, these two circles will intersect more and more. That means whatever causes anxiety for Krishna, whatever causes anxiety for devotees of Krishna, that also becomes our concern. That also becomes our source of emotions. We feel for that. And when that happens, so Krishna is happy when his message is distributed. So when we are happy, taking up anxiety so that Krishna's message gets distributed well, then that indicates that we are making spiritual advancement. So, as I was saying that in Krishna first talks about Chitta Vritti Nirodha in 6.20. But then he concludes 6.47 by saying, Mad Gate Nantaratmana. Turn the mind towards me. So that he describes is the perfection of yoga. Then when the 6th chapter ends and the 7th chapter begins, in the 7th chapter, 7.1, Krishna gives an alternative way to come to that same level. That Mad Gate Nantaratmana, which is the end of 6th chapter, is also phrased alternatively in the 7th chapter as Mai Asakta Manaha. And there Krishna describes how can one become Mai Asakta Manaha? That is by practicing Bhakti Yoga. So that practice of Bhakti Yoga is described from chapter 7 to 12. And in the practice of Bhakti Yoga, what Krishna centers on, if we look at the 6 chapters which talk about bhakti, it is primarily about positive spiritual emotions. In the first 6 chapters, there is focus primarily on negation. Sukhe dukhe samaye krutva. Na praharishet priyam prapya na dujet prapya cha priyam. That sort of equanimity is there. Samaloshta shmakanchana. But in the middle 6 chapters, there is satatam girtayanto mam yatantascha drudhavrataha. that always glorify me, yatantash, drudhavrata, with determination. So, machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam, kathayantashyama nityam tushyanti charamanticha. So, if you look at this middle six chapter, there's all positive spiritual emotions being talked about. So, to the extent we can find out ways in which we can make our emotional circle intersect with Krishna's emotional circle, to that extent, our spiritual advancement will be swift. So, spiritual advancement is not just a matter of doing some rituals. Yeah, the rituals are important. But the rituals have a purpose. That purpose is to make our emotions similar to Krishna's emotions. Of course, Krishna's emotional capacity is infinite. Ours is only very finite. But still, within our finite capacity, the more our emotions become spiritualized, spiritualized means our emotions become similar to Krishna's emotions, then that to that extent, we will move closer and closer to Krishna. And that is exhibited by the gopis over here in the 10th canto, where they are in complete heartbreak. Krishna, how will we live without you? So, I'll conclude with this point. That is, if we want to understand whether I'm making spiritual advancement essentially means that I have to, my attachment should shift from the material world to Krishna. My center of emotion should shift from matter to Krishna. Now, how do we know whether we are becoming attached to Krishna? Actually, our attachments are often deep inside us. It's difficult to understand what our attachments are. But the attachments express themselves as emotions. And one of the strongest emotions is anxiety. So by looking at our anxieties, we can understand our attachments. So what material activities causes anxiety and what spiritual activities causes anxiety? To the extent material activities causes anxiety, to the extent, that means our material attachments are still there. To the extent some spiritual activities causes anxiety. What do you mean by spiritual activities causing us anxiety? That means if I have to chant, I have to do my japa. Am I chanting attentively? No, there are so many scriptures. Am I studying the scriptures properly? Devotees have entrusted me in this service. Am I doing the service properly? So, if this our devotional activities, we feel emotions in connection with it. Feel anxiety. Yes, this is my responsibility. I must do it. And if things are not happening well, then we feel anxiety. Then, that indicates that we are developing devotional attachments. And to the extent, if I'm apathetic, you know, if somebody goes to book distribution and then collect some, you know, we distribute books and we get some Lakshmi, and then on the way coming in the local, the Lakshmi falls out of the pocket and the person loses it, and then the person then the authority asks, yes, you distributed, where are the books, where is the Lakshmi? I lost the Lakshmi. You lost the Lakshmi? Hey, don't get agitated. Sukhe dukhe samay krutva labha labho jaya. Be equipoised with happiness and distress, be equipoised with loss and gain. Now this equipoised is with respect to material things. You know, we should have anxiety. You know, Prabhupada was so anxious that Lakshmi be used carefully in Krishna's service. You know, Prabhupada, especially in India, Prabhupada himself look at the accounts. Why? Because this is Krishna's Lakshmi. So, the point is that we can, to the extent we feel anxiety with respect to our devotional services, various services, to that extent our attachment is shifting towards Krishna. And to that extent we are making spiritual advancement. So, now we may not feel anxiety right now about anything. That is not a sign of spiritual advancement. That is a sign of apathy. And apathy is not actually spiritual advancement. But we can find out what are the things within devotional service for which I can take up anxiety. See, often the emotion of anxiety is considered to be negative. I don't want any tension. I don't want any anxiety. Yes, that is true. Anxiety can be agitating. But it is actually anxiety which can also be fulfilling. Because anxiety for a person whom we love, for especially the Supreme Lord, that fills our heart with thoughts of Krishna. So we can find out according to our nature, according to our talents, according to our capabilities, what service can we take up for Krishna. And then the service that we take up for Krishna, within that service we take up anxiety. So it's not, if we take up anxiety which is incompatible with our nature, that anxiety will just agitate us and crush us. But if we take up anxiety which is according to our nature, that anxiety will lift us up. And that's why Krishna says, Swakarmanatamabhyarcha siddhemvindati manavaha. In 18.46 he says that swakarmana, that by your work, tamabhyarcha, worship that Supreme Lord. Who is that Supreme Lord? Yata pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam. That Lord who is the source of everything, who is pervading everything, that Lord serve him. And by that, siddhim vindati, one will attain perfection. Some people translate the swakarmanatam abhyarcha as, work is worship. But Krishna is not saying work is worship. Krishna says, by your work, worship him. So, the swakarmanatam abhyarcha, Sanskrit is very simple. By your work, worship him. Work itself is not worship. So, if work itself were worship, then the donkey would be the world's greatest worshipper. Isn't it? That's not the case. But by our work, we can worship him. And then what will happen? Siddhim vindati manavaha. We can attain the supreme perfection of life. So I'll summarize. I started by talking about how here the gopis are in enormous anxiety. So I talked about how spiritual life is not just the positive. Now the whole gamut of emotions, anxiety, fear, devastation, all of them are included on the foundation of love. So God has a very attractive form as Krishna, but he has also a very fearsome form as Narasimha. But that fearsome form is also manifested because of love. So spiritual life includes all gamut of emotions. And then we discussed about the path of yoga, which involves silencing of emotions. And then I discussed the difference between chit and chitta. So, yes, it is true that our material emotions have to be silenced. Person is caught up in watching a movie, okay, switch off the lights of the movie, so that the person will not see the movie, that illusion will stop. But that is only the beginning. The real thing is, okay, you have a real life apart from the movie, start that life. So bhakti is about starting that life. And starting that life, the gopis exhibit that life in their immense feelings of agony. So we discussed how, normally, in a culture, emotions are restrained. So, say, male-female affection is restrained. The gopis would also restrain their affection for Krishna. But one sign of affection is that it breaks through all restraints. So at this stage, when the gopis are feeling devastated at the thought of losing Krishna's association, they visrujjalajam, they give up their modesty and they openly express their affection for Krishna. So we discussed how we can also, although this platform is very high, the principle of directing our emotions towards Krishna, as Arjuna demonstrates through his life and giving comparing it to Prahlada, going beyond externals, the basic principle is that we take shelter of Krishna. And that taking shelter means bringing about the intersection of our circle of emotions and Krishna's circle of emotions. So, by finding out the services that are according to our nature and taking up anxiety in those services, we can create an increasing intersection between these circles, and thereby we can become emotionally closer and closer to Krishna till we eventually attain love for Krishna. We'll attain perfection of the life. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaura Premanandi. Thank you.